And welcome back to the RPP Footy Show, live 98.7, 98.3. And we've got the boys have hung around for an Nepean League, but also we've got Paddy Swain and no records this morning, Paddy. Sorry, mate. Flew back from Canberra and, didn't get to the league on time to pick
either,
them up.
So
no Vossy either.
Joint's falling apart, Toey.
Yeah. Well, I got you here, and I got Hughesy here from the Bomb Beach Footy Club. G'day, Hughesy. Yeah, very well, mate. I've got a little bit of an update from the this whole divisional structure stuff, and there was an email that was sent out to the clubs late yesterday afternoon from the main man at AFL Southeast in John Anderson. And it read pretty much like this. I'm in receipt of an email dated 23rd of June, which contains documents signed by 18 of the 22 clubs, which we reported last week, of course. In response to the documents, AFL Southeast Senior Competition Review, the review panel will accept these letters as feedback from those clubs. While we accept the correspondence forward on your behalf, the panel is keen to encourage further feedback from each of the 18 clubs as part of the process. We'd like to see those clubs provide additional insight and detail as to their individual views and opinions. There may be other elements and ideas clubs would like to put forward, and we encourage clubs to submit further thoughts on the future of the competition that will help the process. In order for clubs to give consideration to submitting thoughts about the options or the future structure, the panel is prepared to extend the existing deadline of July 3 for an additional week until Monday, July 10 for all clubs. Once again, I thank clubs who have already submitted their views. So they've extended it by another week. And, you know, me being the facetious person that I am and looking at that, that to me says that the 18 clubs of the 22 clubs haven't supported the recommendation of AFL Southeast, so they want them to think about it again before they hand down their decision. That's the way I think about it. So I'm tipping that the 18 clubs are going to turn around and say, no, you asked for submissions by July 3. You said that there'll be no more correspondence entered into. You wouldn't make any further comment in relation to that until after the July 3 deadline. We've handed in our submission. Now you come back to us and tell us what you're going to do in relation to all of those submissions. Or this would be my recommendation from the 18 clubs to say, you hold a meeting with all 18 clubs. Let's not do this on an individual level again and confuse the situation. You get together in a room with all 22 clubs and we can discuss it openly about what our moves are moving forward. That's my guess. Yeah, thoughts? I'm interested to talk to you about your club stance too.
Thought they were going to get one result. Like when they had individual chats with clubs, the AFL Southeast felt that like they did have the support to do divisional footy. And then when it's come to the big meeting, when everyone's got together, probably not blindsided is not the right word, but they probably didn't get the result they thought they were going to get. So now they're probably backpedaling and saying, well, why didn't we get that result? Let's go sit down again with the clubs. But I think you're right. Probably it needs to be everyone there, everyone put their thoughts across and then get a decision with everybody there rather than having the little, a meeting with Franks and Bombers, an individual meeting with Red Hill and then going around that way. Maybe just get everyone together and go for it from there. And I think the meeting the other night, they didn't have anyone represented from Southeast, was it? It was just the actual presidents from each club was there?
Only because AFL Southeast had made it really clear, Paddy, to anyone and everyone that they weren't going to enter any discussions with anybody until after the July 3 deadline once the submissions had been received. So the league's done a complete backflip from what it was saying 2 weeks ago to hearing that there was a meeting that there was an overwhelming lack of support for the recommendation, and all of a sudden it's been okay, now we've got to start
support.
Correct. But speaking to a number of clubs through the week, I wasn't at any of these one-on-one meetings. But can I just put something to you? If they walk up to a Tony Blackford, or they walk up to a Roger Siverson from the Red Hill Football Club, and they start talking about divisional football, and they don't be specific in relation to what they're talking about in relation to divisional football, but they're talking about divisional football. If you've got 18 of the 22 clubs who support divisional football between Peninsula and Nepean League, would it be fair that Roger Siverson would say, yeah, I support divisional football, but are you talking about involving the Casey League clubs, or are you just talking about promotion relegation?
That's probably the big issue, isn't it?
That's the massive issue. And I think the only way we're going to get any clarification is if all 22 clubs are in the room at the one time having a conversation with AFL Southeast about it. And unfortunately, again, by this memo, it's we want individual club correspondence. We're not interested in talking to the collective.
Yeah, it's, this seems to be, as you said, Toey, the clubs have made their decision, the Peninsula and Nepean clubs, well, the majority of them have made that decision.
I'll just clarify that as well. 18 of the 22 put in a submission collectively.
Yep.
Edith Vale put in their own on the back of they wanted to go, Aaron Martello wanted to go back to the committee before he put his forward. My understanding is they support the 18 clubs. Lang Warren put theirs in individually as well, but my understanding is they support the 18 clubs.
Tyab want the divisional footy.
Tyab want the divisional football, and nobody knows where Pines sit on it. And we've got the coach sitting here.
So again, getting back to that, so the 18 clubs have spoken that they're dead. They're just all against having Casey involved,
correct,
whatsoever,
correct.
And the majority of the clubs are interested in promotion and relegation between Peninsula and Nepean.
My understanding is that's the case.
Southeast should just go with that and get Casey sorted out some other way.
End of the day,
this competition saved those Casey clubs a dozen years ago, and then the minute they got on their feet, then they wanted out. So they left, and now they're in trouble again, and they want back in. So I think that competition just needs to go and sort itself out. Those top five clubs need to go and join the Eastern League or whatever it is, because their population base and their power base, they're not that far from Ringwood and them clubs. They need to go and maybe join that competition, and then the weaker clubs, your Tourums or whatever, they should go and join Lang Lang and them sort of footy clubs.
Barracup, that's a comment. Where do you sit? Where does your club sit on it? Because the Pines was an obvious absentee.
Yeah, we're open-minded about the whole thing. We fully support divisional football between the two Peninsula and the Nepean competitions. And I think, you know, we've said in the past, if they had that when Pines was struggling, it would have been great for us to go down, find our feet, potentially win a flag. I think I said before, we haven't won a premiership since 1994. Divisional football would allow us to have probably won a flag. And I'll look at Coringle. Coringle would be, where they are at the moment. They would probably go down and be able to win a flag. And they've won two premierships in Northern Comp, I think it was, not a compromised comp. Mount Eliza, they went down and won premierships in those competitions. The Bombers, they won in a second division. So I think it does make sense in that, we can't keep going with sides getting belted and you know, I look at Chelsea at the moment, they probably look at it and go, well, you know, with the points and the money, that hamstrings us to go forward, and we're going to be competing against, at the moment, you know, some really strong clubs and some sides that have got points and money and so forth. We need to go down, and they'll know that they've looked at the Southern League in the past.
I know they said 2 years ago. They've looked
at the Southern League as well. So I think we have to be really mindful of football development. That's probably the number one thing for me. I look and go, well, are we doing the best to develop kids to be able to play football at their level and keep participating in the game?
What would happen with your kids?
I keep using the Pines Football Club as a classic example of how it would single-handedly in one season destroy your club.
You know how hard it is to get your kids up and about and
reserves, and because if it was divisional football right now, Paddy, Pines would be in Division 1. So your ones would compete okay with Narre Warren, Berwick, Beaconsfield and Cranbourne. Your twos would get smacked, and your under-18s, under-19s would last 2 weeks and say, I'm not getting up at 7 o'clock in the morning to go to backpacking them to get belted by 150 points again.
Yeah, but you got to have.
And your club goes backwards
as well. That's the other thing too. Like you do,
they come to you, but still get belted by 150 points.
But look, I think what you got to do is you got to keep backing your program. And like our under-19s have made significant ground in terms of just being able to field a side. We went to, I think 2015, we're looking like we weren't going to have a team. And then you look at us now we've probably got 8 to 9 players in our reserves have come through that under-19 system where they have been getting belted. And now the wheel has turned a bit that they're belting Kringle in the reserves and they're belting Mornington in the reserves and they've been getting whipped by them for the last 3 or 4 years. So I think it's how your club deals it, how your club sells it. And again, go back to development.
But geographically, Pat, you can't compete.
Well, we can.
You can sell it as much as you like, but if your club's in the middle of a demographic that doesn't have kids, then how can you compete long term against those clubs?
I mean, you know, look at how you sell your program. I look at like a Noble Park. Noble Park's not a really big area for kids anymore, is it? Like, they're a really strong Division One EFL club, reserves 19s. They get a lot from Endeavour Hills and these sort of sides. So you just have to try and make yourself become a club of choice. And if they, I mean, for us, ideally, if they got rid of the point system, we'd be I think we would be a hell of a lot healthier because we could be a club of choice where you get kids who might have grew up, you know, 10 k's down the road want to come to Pines because they can see we've got some, you know, really strong program.
Hmm.
I don't mind the I don't mind the concept of divisional football, but for me, that's what underpins everything is the junior side of things. Like the under-19s, we're struggling ourselves at Bomb Beach with, you know, we rolled out against Langwarrin last week with, I think, 14 players. So, and it's a different demographic to what it was 10, 15, 20 years ago with under-19s footy. And just the logistics of, you know, demographic and getting up early in the morning and driving 60k or 40k out to get belted by 100 points. I don't think it is sustainable. I understand from a senior perspective, but under-19 footy is becoming more and more difficult, and I'm seeing that at my club at the moment, which is a reasonably successful club, but it's...
To interrupt, Hughesy, like 2 weeks ago, you were under-17s. Bomb Beach under-17s travelled out to Beaconsfield and lost by 120 points. And on a Sunday morning at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Hmm.
9 o'clock.
Yeah, and that's a challenge. Like it's all well and good to say, well, this is a great concept at senior level and this is the best playing against the best, but we've really got to just... I think they've just got to take a step back and look at and maybe take a little bit more time.
Mm.
And junior programs are great. And Paddy mentioned Noble Park. I played footy there. So I played all my junior footy at Noble Park. But that was on the back of a really good senior club with great communication with their juniors. And that takes time to develop. And I think, you know, effectively this has been put on us a couple of months back. And I just think you need more time to think it through.
Yeah. Why does it though work in the EFL? And why does it work in the AMOs, but it won't work? But it won't work in our comp. You look at the EFL now. The EFL Scoresby, who was always a dominant side, is in Divi 3. East Burwood, who Alan Richardson, that was his first coaching gig, is there at Divi 3 or Divi 4. And then you've got Lilydale, is in Division 1. Now Lilydale's a fair hike for, you know, you can talk about going to Pakenham and that. But if you're going from Roval to Lilydale, or Noble Park to Lilydale, or Baldwin to Lilydale. There's some fair travel in that comp, and it still works there. So I don't think why it doesn't work in our comp.
Yeah, well, I don't think that the travel's a consideration. You know, the freeways and the highways and all that sort of stuff. It's all brought clubs a lot closer together. The Edith Vale to Sereno trip's not the Edith Vale to Sereno trip it was before Peninsula Link and East Link came in. But it's the demographic of those particular areas that's the concern. So it's not about the area, it's about the demographic. Yeah. So from a Pines Football Club, you're competing against juniors, against Coringle, you're competing against Langwarrin, yeah. You're competing against Frankston YCW, you're competing against Frankston Bombers, you get Bomb Beach, you're competing against Morty Alec, Chelsea Heights, Chelsea, Edith Vale, the demographic, yeah. And then you look at Narre-Warren, and this area is not a growth corridor. I mean, the southeast corridor is the biggest growth area,
yeah,
and Noble Park. I mean, they've still got Noble Park's still got growth. There's still young families moving into Noble Park, Narre-Warren, Cranbourne, Beaconsfield, Pakenham, Berwick. I mean, it's the fastest growing corridor in the country.
I think for me, when I strip it back, I find the attitude of a 17 and 18 year old to playing local footy these days is different to what it used to be. So by giving them another reason why not to play, that for me is the major point for me, just around how it would not work. And I could see junior footy clubs, or it's not junior footy clubs, but under 19 footy really struggling with a concept like that. It just gives them another opportunity to do something else. Whereas, I mean, the structure now, whilst it's not potentially perfect, you know, we have the scenario where we've got to play Chelsea next week as an example, if we did, and we've got to run around and try and get three or four to top up our under-19s. It's a lot more viable than if you're travelling out to Turriton to play a game of footy.
Mm.
So I know it's probably a basic way of looking at things, but that's a situation we're in at the moment, and I'm sure a number of other clubs are at the moment as well. I just think it's a different demographic with that age bracket. I mean, when I grew up, everybody played, and you drove where you had to drive, and everybody loved it, but it's just different these days.
Yeah, it is. Choices. Kev, do you want to say something before we wrap it up?
Yeah, well, I'm sort of probably along the lines of the 90s stuff as well. Certainly over our way at Hastings and Tyab, you know, we're two clubs that struggle for thirds, you know. There's just not enough kids in the area. Somerville's really well equipped, and Cribb's got quite a few boys, but then Cribb's got nothing coming up behind those 19s. You know, Hastings have got
I think we go to under 13s and then under 19s. So, you know, we've just got no kids. Cripps the same, Tybe's the same. So, again, if Hastings end up in a competition playing those clubs, we won't have 19s. Mm. Those kids, the kids that we've got, will probably go and play at Tyre because they don't have to travel as far. Because Tyre will still be playing probably the clubs in our competition. So, you know, I think it would kill our program.
Yeah. I think the one thing to come out of all of this is you know, we've had a really good conversation with all different opinions right now. That's what the AFL Southeast hasn't heard yet. They've got a whole lot of comments on paper. They've had a whole lot of one-on-one meetings, but collectively, a Lang Warren hasn't heard the thoughts of Pines. A Sorrento hasn't heard the thoughts of Bomb Beach. And I think that's where they need to get everybody in the one room together with everybody's opinions and then get a real feel and understanding for what the collective believes. And they can still work towards that divisional football if that's what they honestly believe is the right thing to do. But like you said, you know, this has been something that was talked about last year, with Jeremy Burke, and there was rumours that that's the way that things he wanted to take them in a completely different direction, mind you, to what the direction is of the new incumbent. But let's look at working towards that and how we get to that, as opposed to let's get some submissions and then make a decision on the future of football in the region.
It was our one last week, just from an opinion point of view. When you have you might have already mentioned it today, but like you knocking back divisional football and then Sorrento go and beat number two by 95 points and you go, well, geez, is that good for our comp? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and Kev opened to show up with that exact comment. Geez, if you're, but Kev was talking about promotion relegation between Peninsula and Nepean. They're not going to do that to Frankston, YCW, to Bomb Beach, to Pines. At the moment, and it's a one-off. I mean, Hastings were belted by Rosebud by 100 points last year and then beat them by 7 points in a preliminary final and won the flag. I mean, the swings and roundabouts in footy, we understand that, and it was a one-off. But if they continue to do that for the rest of the year, Paddy, and they go through undefeated, then they don't have an argument in relation to looking at restructuring in some form.
Yeah. They'd probably get stronger in Peninsula Comp because
we'd
all go down there and stay the night.
Correct.
Rob Pitt would be multi-millionaire. We'd go down and stay at the pub.